Hey everyone, Renee here. And on this podcast, I'm going to be continuing on with the discussions that we've been having about the healing and the recovery of, you know, childhood sexual abuse and the impact that it has on you and the people around you. It's important to understand the stages. And for me, I'd like to break it down, especially from my own experience. I like to break the stages down into three stages. And the podcast prior to this one, I talked about the first stage, the crisis stage. I'll have the link below to where you can listen to that podcast. On this one, we're going to be talking about the second stage, which is the middle stage. And on the next podcast, I'm going to be talking about the last and third stage, which is going to be the resolution stage. Now, the middle stage is, from my own experience and from talking with other survivors as well, is that, you know, there's no time limit on recovery and healing. And it varies, you know, from person to person. But at the same time, there are a lot of similarities as well. And there are some key points that, you know, as far as those similarities that I want to share with you, because it's helpful for you to understand what it is that you're going through. And it's helpful for your loved ones, your, you know, whether you're in a relationship or friends or whomever, to understand as well. So I'm going to be talking about, you know, this stage or these stages from all perspectives. So I want to share a scenario with you. And the scenario is, and this is from my own experience as well, from going through the middle stage. So when I was in this stage, one of the things I noticed is that, and I didn't realize it while I was going through it, but looking back, one of the things I realized is that I kept digging a lot into my past. And in my case, and a lot of other survivors' cases as well, is that I did not realize how much my digging was actually having a profound negative impact on the relationship I was in at that time. Because it wasn't necessarily the fact that I kept digging into my past, but it was the fact that I kept wanting to talk about it, because if, you know, for the first time I was finally, you know, opening up about it. And it was a sense of overwhelm and a sense of kept wanting to dig into my past, trying to piece everything together. And from that, I kept wanting to talk about it. So it's kind of two parts to it. It was the digging into my past part. It's the, you know, wanting to talk about it part. And thinking about it now, I think there's a third part as well. And that is wanting to spend a lot of time to myself as well. But, you know, while I was spending a huge amount of time to myself, is that, you know, I thought about it a lot and I was writing a lot about it as well. And looking back, you know, I realized that, you know, I realized that it was not that I wanted to talk about it, right? So it's not a want, but it was a fact that I needed to talk about it. So that's one of the key points, is that you might feel like you want to talk about it a lot, but it's important for you to understand that you need to talk about it. So although while in the middle stage, it's important to understand that, you know, now that you've opened up, that you're going to want to talk about your childhood a lot. One mistake or one thing that I want you to keep in mind is that you might want to dump a lot of information on the people in your life that are probably not the best equipped. So sure, they might have the best intentions, but it's best to also seek out a support system that includes other survivors, online support, or professional therapy, because in many cases, and I want you to really think about this, so in many cases, we tend to forget the impact we have on the people in our life by talking about our abuse excessively. We tend to forget, or even might not even be aware, especially if you're in a relationship, about how opening up about abuse actually affects our loved ones as well. And for me, looking back, especially when I initially started talking about it, is that it actually have my wanting to talk about it a lot had a really bad negative impact on my relationship, because the person I was with was not the best equipped to deal with all of that, because, you know, it's a hard discussion. And it's not because the person I was with didn't have good intentions or didn't want to help. It was because they didn't know how to help. So that's something that's really, really important and key to keep in mind, especially if you are having a hard time if you're having a hard time in your relationship after you've opened up. Really, you know, look at the situation and understand if you are kind of at that point where you're dumping a lot of information and being frustrated if your partner is not reciprocating. And a lot of times, especially in this stage, as a survivor, we don't understand ourselves enough, you know, to, you know, even understand how to even help ourselves. So I know for me, and a lot of survivors, we desperately want to go back to all of the important times and people in our lives and look at them again and again. This is actually healthy, but, you know, on the flip side of that, you want to also see how or what your childhood was really like and what your family was really like. Now, from a, you know, if you are listening to this and you are the loved one, I want you to also keep in mind is that although, you know, you might wish your loved one would hurry up and get on with the recovery, is that they can only do it when they are ready. And if your loved one is worried about whether they can do it, encourage them to keep going and to learn all that they can about their past. And it's important for the survivor to write down their memories as they surface, because if you write them down, that's one of the key things that kind of helps to piece, you know, all of those memories together. And also, if your loved one is anxious about how it will affect your relationship, you can talk to a therapist together about the concerns and about what you might do or be able to do to help. This step is important, and, you know, this can be accomplished via a, you know, in-person support group, via online support groups, or a therapist in person, whatever makes the sense, you know, whatever makes sense for the both of you. And when your loved one decides to recover from childhood sexual abuse, keep in mind is that, you know, this middle stage is that they are entering into a stage of hard emotional work, and your loved one might struggle with the details of the abuse. They might struggle to express their feelings about it and to integrate the memories. And this means your, you know, loved one has to acknowledge how deeply they have been affected by the abuse. And your loved one will experience what I like to call emotional turmoil. It's a very, very painful part of the healing journey to go through. But every survivor will go through this, and every survivor can overcome this stage as well. Now, the emotional turmoil will include grief and anger. And that's why it feels like this stage can last a long time, And this is why it's important for not only you, but the survivor and whoever else is impacted to, you know, have their own support system as well. So don't pressure your loved one. The decisions along the way are not easy, and your loved one must make them for their own reasons. However, keep in mind is that this stage is not going to last forever, and that the survivor is going to be relieved when some of their feelings and behaviors start to make sense to them. And if you get nothing else from this podcast, the main thing is to understand is that, you know, the survivor is trying to make sense to, you know, a whole host of different things. That includes grief and anger. But once they go through this, they will be relieved, you know, once their feelings and once their behaviors start to make sense to them and for you as well. As your loved one, as a survivor is going through this, you're going to be like, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, the different behaviors that that the survivor might be having. Everything, once you go through this stage, is going to start making sense. And that's it for the middle stage. On the next podcast, I'm going to be talking more about the three stages. Again, there are three. There's the first stage is the crisis stage. The second stage is the middle stage. And the last stage is going to be the resolution stage. So be sure to subscribe so that you are staying up to date on the content and you don't want to miss out on, you know, all of the things that are to come, especially from a resolution perspective. That's it for this mighty episode of Relationships After. Check out the website at www.mightyowl.com. That's OWWL.com. To join in on the discussions for the mighty nugget provided in this episode, or feel free to drop me a line if you have a specific topic you would like to hear on a future episode of Relationships After. And remember, you can have mighty filled relationships after surviving sexual abuse.